Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of What Do You Mean $5.99? I paid 18 cents for this with a Bazooka Joe comic back in... Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
While the United States isn't the only country to celebrate its independence, we do lead the world in firework-related injuries. America! Welcome to comics.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
It's so beautiful. If you're listening to us in the morning or afternoon, be careful out there.
Yes.
And celebrate that tonight will be the last night some people have all 10 digits.
Oh, look, an eagle just screamed by.
America is going to move to a base 8 math system just because there's going to be a plurality of people missing at least that many fingers.
Oh, my God.
Never mind metric. Like, we're not going to have...
Yeah, that's based on tens. We're
not going to have enough fingers for that, so we're just down to base 8. It's like we're consistent.
Speaking of consistency, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Shirtosaurus.
Hey.
Digging up clothing from your past so you could look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic, whether you're a fan of old school anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just into weird stuff, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus great gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at GeekCavePodcast.com. Gentlemen, how are we doing this fine, fine July?
I'm okay.
Feeling, it's 70% free, so pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Feeling feelings.
I've got some feelings that I'm feeling right now.
Do they have anything to do with anything you've read recently?
Oh, careful. Jeez, I mean, hold off on the reach arounds.
Be gentle. Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Welcome to Darren's First Time, where I try to find a new partner, and by partner I mean book to read that I haven't read before. What were you thinking?
Nothing.
Anyway, time for some inside baseball. It's the 4th, you know. Let's talk about... There's nothing more American than baseball except... I mean, the NFL and a whole bunch of other stuff. But some behind-the-scenes stuff is what I mean. For this segment, I'm supposed to read a comic that I've never picked up before. Sometimes it's as easy as me opening Hoopla or Comixology Unlimited. Sometimes it's me looking through the stacks at my local comic book shop. And sometimes it's based on an audience member's suggestion. This time... it was luck of the draw. I scoured titles I'd never read before, and I settled on Batcat.
Okay.
It is about a creature that is part bat, part cat, 100% annoying, and who only loves pizza and avoiding all other living creatures. So, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story looked juvenile, and I thought it would make for a good laugh, a fun review, you know. Instead, I quickly realized, guys, that Batcat is a book for emerging readers, and I have made a terrible mistake. You see, this book is written for someone who is in the single digits when it comes to age.
Oh, my.
Which means that if I keep the usual jokes in this segment going, Chris Hansen's going to have me have a seat. So instead... So instead, here's how the review is going to go. I can't really knock it because it has simplistic art and storytelling. Batcat ends up going on a quest to get rid of a ghost that has taken up residence inside its home, not because the ghost is scary, but because it's a terrible roommate, which that makes sense. The book is fine, but it also left me feeling a bit, you know, like I shouldn't be here. And you don't listen to this segment for me to just say, yeah, this is harmless. You want something a bit more adult. So I'm going to have Batcat go to its room, turn on Netflix, and just kind of zone me out for the next few minutes as I go in the entire opposite direction. And I settled on a different book called Gun Honey, Blood for Blood.
Oh, my God.
Gun Honey, Blood for Blood is published by Titan Comics under their Hard Case Crime label. And it's about a woman who's great at two things: walking around topless and never ever missing her target when she fires a gun, no matter what type of gun it is. Happy Fourth, by the way. Think a free-spirited, gender-swapped version of Marvel's Bullseye.
All right.
Now, this limited series picks up some point into the Gun Honey's career. Her name is actually Joanna Tan, by the way, and you're going to need me to keep reminding you of that, because while the art is great, it's also very, very detailed. So, again, her eyes are up there, and her name is Joanna Tan. Joanna Tan. Anyway, she's been off the grid for a while. But a rival has started killing government informants and making it look like Joanna did it. What follows is a four-issue, exciting and titillating miniseries that sees Joanna travel the world, infiltrate high-class locations, land on top of a speeding bus after jumping out of a moving helicopter, and generally satisfy anyone who's a fan of pulp comics or action comics in general. Not Action Comics, the Superman title, just Action Comics as in the genre. And while it's not a series I plan to stick with, get it? Because, honey, don't patronize me. I enjoyed what I read a lot more than I enjoyed Batcat, anyway, officer. And I give it 4, hold on, I'm reloadings, out of 5.
Oh. That was not what I was expecting when you said you've got 2 first times today.
Yep.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't start making any jokes sooner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chad, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fine. Let's move away. That's subject change cue, Chad.
Oh, right. Well, I read a couple things.
Oh, good.
So, you know what, my filling in my year of the bat,
mm-hmm.
So I've been reading a lot of those things, and I guess I got another stupid question.
You know what, yeah, fine, what is it?
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
How much of a person do you need for the Lazarus Pit to do its job?
Are we talking, like, percentages, or are we talking just, like...
Yeah, I mean, they're all dead. I mean, they're supposed to be dead when they go in.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, like on the fourth, you die with a few missing fingers. I mean...
Right.
Do those fingers regrow, or you missing them, or... You know, how much of a person do you need for Lazarus Pit to do its job?
The human body is a complex thing.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, the brain stays alive for 7 seconds after you die, apparently. So, I mean, it's just... There's...
That's terrifying. Good to know.
Lungs are important. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
I have an old copy of Grey's Anatomy lying around. I'll do some research.
Oh, I love that show.
Yes.
I guess You know, speaking of Lazarus, I've got some a review in progress too.
Oh, okay. Yes. What is that?
So I'm still reading The Second Coming.
Yes, because we need Jesus right now. Oh, good Trinity. Lord. Okay. Yes, please.
All right. So we're up to issue 3 of probably what will be 6, maybe 8, but probably 6. The rest of them have been 6. In true fashion, Mark Russell has kept the main story kind of close to his chest. And so by issue 3, we still aren't sure what the main thrust of the story is or going to be. But we do have some interesting moments.
Okay.
You know, where God in heaven attends a meeting of the atheists. You know, because they're the ones that he can, you know, really talk to.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jesus babysitting a superhero child poorly. We have insight into Jesus' childhood, you know, where he gets really mad and kills a guy as a kid. And what? So, and well, by just kind of cursing him and he dies. And so the parents of said kid come and like, your son killed our and Jesus comes out. He's like, he's not really dead. You know, maybe he just fell down. And so he brings the kid back to life and says, you fell down, didn't you? Yeah. And so now everyone in Nazareth is scared of Jesus. Yeah. So the artwork is really, really busy, but it's done well enough to keep the eyes from being fatigued. No boobs yet, but, you know, we can't all be gun honey.
This is true. This is very true.
Also, no grade yet because we're only halfway through the series, but I still like it.
That's
it's still asking questions.
That
I like that part.
I still like it is still a grade for a review in progress.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I will take it.
Right on.
Has anybody read anything else?
Well, I do have a Superman in progress review.
Okay. Boy Scouts. No, don't. Just go with it, Darren. Just go.
Dawn of DC is the new like company-wide storyline that's going on right now after, what was it, like the Crisis on Infinite Earths Dark Edition or whatever the heck they called it. Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, yeah. Darkness, no parents, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, Superman got kind of like a soft relaunch. Not that they were resetting or rebooting anything, but just kind of like, here's a good jumping on point. Superman has the whole super family with matching uniforms. We're talking Steel. We're talking Steel's daughter, who is also Steel. We're talking John Kent, Superman. We're talking Connor Kent. We're talking Supergirl. Everyone's got matching leather jackets, and it's really cool, although Superman's still rocking the cape because F you, I can do what I want. It's my team. And Lex Luthor's behind bars where he belongs. Oh, but wait a minute. Superman's flying around one day, and he notices that there's something different about the LexCorp building. There's a giant Superman shield on top of it. Huh. And he's also got Lex broadcasting on a frequency that only Superman can hear, offering him advice during his monster fights. Stuff like, you're moving too slow. Stop trying to save those people. Just end the threat. And so on and so forth. You see, Lex finally taking Superman up on his whole, you know, Lex, you could really have solved a lot of the world's problems if you just focused on it. Taking him up on that, since he's in jail. Okay, Superman, my company is yours now. I signed it over to you. You run Supercorp. Do whatever you want with it. And sure enough, it's 60 floors of people wearing, you know, lab coats with a Superman S on it and working for Superman now.
I love this right now. Like, I love this right now.
Yeah. So, of course, Superman is highly skeptical of such a thing. But he doesn't have time to deal with it because somehow the parasite is back. And by the parasite, I mean a couple thousand of him. He's figured out a way to multiply.
Oh.
And you're familiar with how a zombie plague works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, picture that, but with the parasite.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Yeah. Another status quo change. Go ahead.
Well, the way a zombie, you know, zombie thing works, so when the parasite touches a normal human, that human becomes a parasite?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrifying in all the ways.
That is terrifying in all of the ways. It's made worse when
I don't want
Superman,
to be a parasite.
Superman tries to clear out the Daily Planet, where his wife, Lois, is now editor-in-chief, as Perry has stepped down for what is probably the fifth or sixth time in that character's history. And first time for Lois to be editor-in-chief, though. He encounters a problem, though, because Lois and Jimmy are now also parasites. See, it turns out that there's more than just a few thousand. They're in the air. They're microscopic versions of parasite in the air, which means by the start of issue 3, Superman is looking pretty darn parasitish.
Of course.
And he goes to Lex for help because Lex is the smartest man in Metropolis right now, and Lex is also in a hermetically sealed room to keep him from getting out, but also, he can help.
Yeah.
So this is great. Livewire has the cell right next to Lex. And if you're unfamiliar with Livewire, watch Superman the Animated Series. It's a great show. They figure out that the parasites are attracted to electricity above all else. So they hook Livewire up to the big Superman sign on top of the building and use her as bait vis-a-vis a giant freaking bug zapper. That helps them lure out Bizarro Prime. Not Bizarro Prime. Parasite Prime. Although I do like the idea of a Bizarro Prime now, so someone write that down for later.
Noted.
That lures out Parasite Prime. They're able to basically get him to expend enough energy where Superman can contain him, yada, yada, yada. The day is saved. And at the end of issue 3, Superman returns to Supercorp and tells Mercy, okay, let's get to work. And thus begins the new status quo for Superman. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The art is dynamic. The very first thing we see in issue 1 is Livewire trying to, like, set these people aglow with her powers and Superman diving in and reassuring them with a very calm, I've got you. And from then on out, it's Superman saving folk, Superman not compromising, and Superman just being a big old bastion of hope, even when he's purple and he's got fanged teeth and stuff. So, I'm on board. Dawn of DC Superman, so far so good.
Okay.
Right on.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Well, I guess with no other new things that you've read or things to talk about.
Do have one thing. As you know, we have a Discord.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And you can write in and ask us your questions. And Gungraves is probably one of our most prolific users on the Discord, and he's got another question for us for the comic segment. Quote, what do the fellas think of Archie comics? Have you read any of them? The base or the offshoots? Also, does anyone else feel kind of bummed out that their parent didn't name them Jughead?
Well, I'm not upset by that.
No.
But
nor am I. No.
I love Archie comics. They are the absolute pinnacle of harmless reading. You know,
for the most part, yeah.
And this is like the flagship Archie comics.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because even back in the 70s, so that was the comics that my dad collected.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my aunts and uncles and so forth. You know, and so you read it and nothing is ever that dire or grim. You know, this is not Archie versus the Predator. Like, I'm not talking about that stuff. Just straight up Betty and Veronica, Archie, Jughead, Moose, Midge, you know, ye oldie balty shop, you know, etc. and so forth. It is an innocent comic. And if you ever just need a dose of optimism and light in your comics, and let's face it, if you read anything by DC, you need optimism.
Or
you need the newest Superman.
Or you're a current fan of Spider-Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Archie, they've been publishing for God knows how long, and it's still light and funny.
Yeah.
And innocent-ish.
Personally, I prefer the offshoots, the weird ones. In fact, I did a whole long box on it one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the weirdness of it, because you can insert that wholesomeness into weird scenarios. And it doesn't even have to be like Afterlife with Archie, where everybody's dying because of zombies. It can be something as simple as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or, you know, whatever. Just, you take the wholesomeness of Archie and you put it in a quirky scenario, and then you've got something new to laugh at.
I think one of the great things about Archie is that it's so malleable as a franchise, right? You've got the optimism from the base books, you've got the weirdness from the offshoots, and then you've got stuff like Life with Archie, which basically made the cast grow up, put them in modern day, and it ended with, you know, the death of Archie. Spoilers for like something that happened 15 years ago or so, where he dies protecting his friend from a bullet, you know? And it was such a heart-wrenching and emotional thing reading the story that I caught myself thinking, wait a minute, this is a freaking Archie comic. Why am I feeling things reading an Archie comic? You know? So the fact that the character can be applied to so many different formats and genres, I think that really it kind of speaks to Archie being a bit underrated in my book. So, yeah, I think that the franchise as a whole is pretty great.
Okay. Well, Paul, you got your answer.
Yeah.
I hope.
We like them.
All right. Well, as I was saying, if there's nothing else, Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
All right. So as I've said in previous episodes, this year I'm focusing on weird and quirky issues or storylines in comic books. For the most part, they've been kind of offshoots, whatever. But this month, I'm going to go mainstream. We are talking The Invincible Iron Man.
Oh, issues, no.
Issues 26 through 30 from the 98 to 2000-something run. This is... Yeah. This starts with the January 2000 issue. Tony Stark has a good life. He has wonderful friends, more money than he knows what to do with. He has a knack for building elaborate tinker toys and has managed to help a few people out, and he's very, very lucky. Remember this because he says it at the beginning of every issue in this storyline. He has to remind himself of these things. Currently, he's in a hotel, getting ready to celebrate New Year's. But his current girlfriend and he had a falling out. He's having some issues committing. So he's alone in his hotel room and he says, you know what? Screw it. I need to get out of my own head. The New Year's Eve hasn't gone like planned, so he dons the suit and he goes flying around. And as midnight strikes and fireworks are going off, he encounters Whiplash, who is in full, and parents, kids, close your ears, in full GIMP outfit. Because it's the 90s, and 90s were weird. No, 2000s.
Yeah, they were weird too.
They were weird too.
Still weird. 90s. Still weird.
Yeah. The 90s stuck around in the 2000s till at least like 2003.
Yeah. So they get into a fight, and between Whiplash's weaponry, the fireworks, and a freak lightning strike, Tony goes down and goes down hard. He wakes up in a hospital bed and it is plastered all over the newspapers that he is Iron Man. At this point in whatever reboot they've done, nobody knows he's Iron Man. Well, now they do because his faceplate came off and paparazzi snapped some photos. His girlfriend, who hadn't known about the dual identity, is pissed off. everybody's trying to, you know, figure out what can we do to help him. And Tony turns to the bottle and starts drinking. And for days and weeks, he is incommunicado. He has shut himself off from everybody, his friends, his family, whatever. The Avengers have basically said, hey, due to recent events and your lack of communication, we are distancing ourselves from you. You know, good luck, Tony Stark. Not even good luck, Iron Man. Good luck, Tony Stark. Carol Danvers shows up to try and help him out, and he lashes out at her, and she says, well, screw you, and leaves. And then all of a sudden, the Mandarin bursts in and starts to put Tony into his armor while he's drunk because he wants to defeat Iron Man. And so you get this lovely little image of a shaky Tony burping while wearing the Iron Man suit. And they start to go at it, and then Tony realizes that, hey, something's not quite right here. Turns out it's all a dream. He had a heart attack, and this is not really happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just seems lazy.
It is. But wait, there's more. Because in addition to all of this, Tony's Iron Man suit has become sentient. This part's not a dream.
Oh, jeez.
And it happened because, well, a combination of things. There was the lightning strike, the fact that previously Tony had run his consciousness through his systems, and of course Y2K. He had not upgraded any of his suits to handle the Y2K bug. So
I know this story, and that part is still just amazing to me.
So it is, according to Sensor Diagnostics, the suit gained sentience at 12:09 January 1st, 2000.
Which time zone?
Doesn't matter.
It really does.
The time zone the suit was in. So local at 12:09, between the Y2K bug, Tony's consciousness, which had previously been floating through it, and the lightning strike.
Comics are weird.
Things are so stupid.
Comics are so weird. As the issue goes on, Tony starts to have a heart-to-heart with this suit of armor, realizing that, okay, maybe there's something to this, you know. And so they decide to do some testing where Tony puts this sentient suit on to see, okay, how can we, you know, how do we do this?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
They encounter Whiplash again. And so they agree, okay, the suit takes over evasive maneuvers because it can predict what Whiplash is going to do. And Tony starts working on taking him down. Well, the suit decides that Tony's not working well enough and takes over all functions because Tony's inside of a suit and he can't stop it. For 6 panels, the suit bitch slaps Whiplash, just backhands him to get him to talk about what's going on, whatever. He finally says, hey, this person put me up to attacking you. The suit's like, okay, breaks his neck and throws him in the ocean and then flies off. Tony is beside himself because we don't do that.
I mean, it's the Marvel Universe. A lot of us do, actually.
Yeah. So they're back at Stark's house having this argument. when Tony's girlfriend shows up. Again, everything that happened previously had been a dream, so she doesn't know he's Iron Man. He was never revealed to, you know. So she shows up, and Tony's there, and, quote, Iron Man is there. And lets Tony know that if you tell her anything about what's going on, she's going to die. So Tony and Rumiko, his girlfriend, get into an argument. She leaves, and the suit and Tony continue their bickering about what's going on. Tony is still trying to figure out how to stop the suit. He realizes that it's starting to lose battery power. And so he hatches a scheme. The suit has to power down for about 10 seconds to start charging. And in that time, he's able to don one of his older suits. So now we have Iron Man versus Iron Man, in which the Iron Man suit wins. Puts Tony into himself, the suit, takes him to a remote island, and says, basically, either we work together or I leave here alone. The next issue starts with Tony tied up crucifix style on this desert island, and this armor threatening him. Basically, you know, you're going to die unless
blink,
you...
Blink, blink.
Yeah, unless you, you know, you work with me. The armor for a split second has this pang of consciousness, like, what am I doing? Iron Man doesn't do this, but then is called away to help the Avengers. In that time, Tony manages to free himself, even though it's been days without food or water. He manages to fashion rudimentary weapons, goes hunting, gets his strength back, and then hatches a plan to stop the armor.
Please tell me that he found a box of scraps in a cave.
No, but a cave is involved. He fashions a bow and arrow. He
Close
fashions
enough.
A net. He fashions a knife. And so he and this suit of armor go toe-to-toe with booby traps and, you know, very rudimentary weapons. Tony somehow finally manages to sort of get the upper hand, but then realizes, oh no, I'm having another heart attack. And it's a massive heart attack. The suit, realizing that Tony would rather die than work with him, pulls out some MacGuffinary device from the suit's innards, slaps it on Tony to save his life, and the suit powers down for good. Tony manages to find the remnants of a watch that he had on him that also acts as a signal, and people are coming to save him. And the last panel, we see Tony meditating on the beach, and in the background, he's buried the suit with a placard that says, "Here lies Iron Man, Avenger."
Of course, he'd probably have to go back and dig that one up soon.
So, yeah, there is the 2000s, early 2000s run of Iron Man. Issues 26 through 30.
What was the name of that storyline? Do we know? Because I remember reading most of that. I don't remember the crucifix part.
Well, it wasn't so much a... I mean, he was tied up, you know, arms...
Crucifix
spread eagle style.
Okay.
Spread eagle style.
Okay, all right.
But he was tied up to wood.
So they went halfway.
Yeah. The mask in the Iron Man.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, that's what it's called. So, with all of that said, I'd like to thank our sponsors again, Sure to Source and Gamefly.
Real quick, can we talk about Extra Life?
I was going to get to that, but yes, by all means, go for it,
Darren.
Sorry.
No, it's your segment.
No, I was going to cue you in to talk about it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right, cool. Oh, boy, it's been a long day. Look. You like helping people, right? Obviously, you're a good person because you're listening to us. And a great way to help people is to help our annual fundraiser for Extra Life. We're raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And we're giving you a little bit of a bribe to do so. You can enter to win some fantastic prizes. By any donation amount, you could win something like a physical copy of Metroid Switch Remastered, if that's your thing. It should be your thing, because it's kind of hard to get a hold of. Or I can tell you today that we just added another one of our prizes to the movie downloads. You get yourself a full season of Superman and Lois, season 2. Ooh. That is the season where they deal with Bizarro. So that's a pretty fun one. And you should definitely check that one out, because that show is really good. And boy, I've got a lot of things to say about that one in the movie segment. But otherwise, look, you know how important this charity is to us. We talk about it every year, and October's coming sooner than you think. It's already July by the time you're hearing this. So you can get full details on our Extra Life effort, all the prizes you can win, all that stuff at geekcavepodcast.com.
All right. Thank you, Darren. Absolutely. So be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 Podcast and the Sporadic TLDR. And on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Look us up on social media. And links to everything that we are on can be found on the website, including the Discord. So join in the conversation. You get to talk to us. You get to talk to other fans. And say hi when you get there. Tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services. And now here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see a very angry man saying, "Our enemies must perish. Take that!" as he hurls some sort of lobster creature at a woman.
That would do it.
Yep. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been The Wonderful World of Comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.